many people have these opinions that they hold too hard, and they allow them to harden into belief and harden into dogma when it's just an opinion. And they never even examine whether they have this opinion from any valid reason.
StrayAllDay.com.
Free's exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has or relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of wait for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is how to avoid cognitive dissonance. I'm going to explain what that is. I mean, I'm not making it up. I'm going to give you the definition in a moment. But before we get started, let me remind you of two things. One, when we start sending them again, my daily motivation text. This is a message guaranteed to have you focused, sharp, and on point to start your day. I send one out every Monday, too, called the Monday Motivation for the week. And it's going to do exactly what I said it's going to do, whether it's each day, each week, however you're receiving it. As soon as we start sending those again, everybody who is in our text community is going to be getting those messages. So right now, the messages are not going out as of this recording. They may be by the time you hear it. They may not be. But once we start sending again, they're going to be immediate. And by the time I make the announcement, we'll probably already have started sending it. So here's all you got to do. Send a text to the following number, 305-384-6894, and just say, hey, I want to get the daily motivation text. And when we start sending them again, since we'll already have you registered, because as soon as you text us, we'll have the number saved, you will be getting that daily motivation text straight to your phone. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. That is the place where I do all my coaching. If you would like to have me as your direct coach, if you'd like to be able to ask me questions, share with me your challenges, and have me work with you directly on your current business needs, your current personal needs, and where you're looking to go professionally in your life, just overall, that is the place to do it. That's the only place that I do any coaching. That is at workonyourgameuniversity.com. That link's down below in the description. Or if you're a good speller, you can just type that into your browser. Again, workonyourgameuniversity.com. That's where we can go from there if you are interested in working with me directly. So all that out the way, let's get into the topic here today, which is, again, how to avoid cognitive dissonance. Definition of cognitive dissonance is the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. It's a pretty long definition, but let's talk about it some more. Very Well Mind gives this explanation of cognitive dissonance. It is the mental discomfort that results from holding two conflicting beliefs, values, or attitudes. People tend to seek consistency in their attitudes and perceptions, so this conflict causes unpleasant feelings of unease or discomfort. So cognitive dissonance, if I would put this into simple terms that I'll say myself here, it is when you have two conflicting beliefs. You're thinking one thing and you think another thing, and you kind of maybe agree or resonate with both ideas, but the two ideas are clashing with each other. So you feel a little bit of discomfort because there's an inconsistency between believing thing A and believing thing B. And you may believe both, and it's very uncomfortable for you to have both beliefs at the same time. So what happens with people is they tend to kill either thing A or thing B mentally because it allows them to stay mentally consistent, even though it doesn't quite make sense. And today I'm going to talk to you how to avoid this feeling. How do you avoid this even happening in the first place? And it's not going to be to just kill any idea that goes against some other idea, because that's a bad idea in itself. Let's talk about it. Point number one, today's topic again, how to avoid cognitive dissonance. Number one, keep all of your opinions flexible and subject to change. All your opinions flexible and subject to change. This was addressed in episode number 734. The main source of cognitive dissonance, according to my observation, is that people have a lot of opinions that they are unwilling to change. This is the biggest problem. If you were just completely open and flexible with every opinion that you had, there's no way that you could ever have cognitive dissonance. Now, beliefs are a little bit higher level than opinions. Opinions, you may have a million of them. Beliefs, you may not have a million. You may have only 1,000. Most people probably don't even have 1,000. Actually, many people allow their opinions to harden into beliefs. That's what happens. But actual beliefs, things that you will never, ever change, you probably don't have that many of them. I asked you to list them out. Most people probably couldn't get to 10. But people treat their opinions as if they're beliefs. I'm suggesting that you don't do that. You should hold your opinions very loosely. I was in a boxing gym the other day and my trainer was telling me, you want to hold your hands loosely, like before you throw a punch, like when you're just, you know, you got your hands up, but you're not throwing a punch. You want to hold your hands as if you had a egg in your hand and you don't want to smash the egg because then the yolk will get all over you. So you hold your hands very loose. You want to hold your opinions like you're holding eggs, because if you hold the egg too tight, you're going to break the egg and smash it all over your hands. And what I'm suggesting to you is hold them very, very loosely, which means you're willing to drop any opinion at any time very easily. And it won't be a physical challenge to you to drop the opinion because you were holding it loose in the first place. So many people have these opinions that they hold too hard and they allow them to harden into belief and harden into dogma when it's just an opinion. And they never even examine whether they have this opinion from any valid reason. They just have, this is just my opinion. Or they'll have an opinion because everybody in their family has that opinion, or everybody who looks like them has this opinion, or everybody who does ABC has to have opinion DEF. And many people think this way. And actually, I won't even call this, I'm doing not you, but I'm doing those people. If you happen to be one of them, then I'm talking about you. But I'm doing those people a favor by even calling this thinking, because this is not thinking. This is having other people do your thinking for you and telling you what you're supposed to think just because of who you are. That's not thinking. That is, I don't know what we want to call that. We'll call it programming, because you're allowing yourself to be programmed like a computer chip. And human beings were a little bit more advanced than that. And many people become very unwilling to change their opinions, even in the face of evidence that is put right in front of them, because they've allowed those opinions to harden into belief. Personally, I have a lot of opinions. You listen to this show often enough, you will hear me share many of my opinions. I have just as many opinions as you have, maybe even more. And I even make material telling you about my opinions. At the same time, I am willing to change any and every opinion that I have. Anything that I have that's an opinion, I will often point out to you, this is the opinion, this is the truth. This is the factual thing that I can prove. This is the opinion based on the fact. But I'm willing to change any opinion if I get a new experience, new information, a new perspective. And you should be as well. And there's a difference between the two. A belief and an opinion, those are two different things. There are things that I believe that someone can question. They don't have to believe the same thing. But opinions, I'm willing to drop. Beliefs, most of your beliefs, you're probably not going to drop. That's why you shouldn't have that many beliefs. You can have a ton of opinions. You shouldn't have that many beliefs, because the beliefs don't change. They are similar to principles. Now, we usually have, again, a ton of opinions, handful of beliefs, and a few principles. Every opinion is subject to change. Again, your opinions are like the food that's currently in your refrigerator. All right. Besides the ketchup, I mean, none of that food's probably still going to be there 6 months from now. Right. Hopefully the ketchup is not either. It'll all be gone, replaced by new food. Right. That makes sense. Okay, your opinions are just as eligible to be replaced. So it's like if you buy some produce from the grocery store, some onions, some cucumbers, some bananas, some apples. 2 weeks from now, all of them will be gone because they go bad if you don't use them. All right. So your opinions, they're not going to go bad if you don't use them. But the point is, you want to have them as open to being replaced as the produce in your refrigerator. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com. And get my emails directly to your inbox every day, free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. It's important to me that the supplements I take, if I take any at all, are of the highest quality. And that's why for the last 2+ years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is consistently and constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 is not just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by making it so that there aren't a million different pills and capsules to keep track of. I hated doing that. Just one scoop of AG1 mixed with water every day. It's really that simple. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I have partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out. That link is down below in the description as well. One more time, drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out. Number two, we're talking here how to avoid cognitive dissonance. That is the topic today. Number two, accept that your actions and opinions or beliefs can sometimes be in conflict. Sometimes you will do things that go in conflict to your opinions or to your beliefs. Sometimes you'll just do things that just go against. You just go against the grain sometimes. For example, I'll give you an example. For many years as a basketball player, I was always of the belief, not opinion, but belief, that concrete was really bad for my knees. Like any type of hard physical activity. I don't mean like walking, but any kind of running or jumping done on concrete was just deteriorating my body and it would shorten my basketball career. Therefore, because of this belief, I never did any type of athletic activity on concrete. So I would not play any basketball on concrete. I would not run on concrete. I didn't even like doing workouts on concrete because I believe the unforgiving surface of the concrete, as hard as it is, it was going to beat up on my knees and I wouldn't be able to keep playing basketball at a high level because the concrete was beating up on my knees. So I avoided any activity on concrete. And I remember at this time when I had this belief, there was a period where I was living in a condominium that was right next to a basketball court outside here in Miami. And there would always be a lot of people out there playing. I would always walk past it and see the guys out there playing. Like, and I would think to myself, man, it'll be so fun to just get out here and bust these guys' asses because I destroy these guys in basketball. And it'd be really fun. Just go out there, destroy them in basketball, and then walk across the street and be home. But what superseded that idea, that vision that I had in my head of destroying these everyday basketball player guys at the park, was that I knew playing on that concrete was going to destroy my knees. And it was more important for me to keep my career going as a basketball player than it was for me to go beat up on these guys who, you know, just got off their 9-to-5 jobs and were playing basketball for fun. So it was more important to just maintain my body. So I never played. All the years I was living there, I never played basketball on that outdoor court. I would only play basketball indoors in order to save my knees. But after I stopped playing, I was willing to experiment on concrete because I didn't have anything. I wasn't saving my body for anything. All right, basketball's over. So if my body gets beat up from running on concrete, which I will now try, it doesn't matter because I'm not losing anything. I'm not losing any income potential. I'm done playing sports anyway. So I decided to give running outdoors a try. Running on concrete, running in the street, et cetera, et cetera. And this was 2015 when I stopped playing. I'm recording this in 2024, and I still run outside multiple times a week. I probably run somewhere from 20 to 30 miles every week, all told. And nothing's going wrong with my knees. My knees actually feel better now than they did when I was playing basketball. Now, how is that? Now, I'm not saying this will happen to you, but I'm saying that's how it feels to me because I realized that the movements required to play basketball. Basketball is a lot of stopping and starting. It's you're going full speed in one direction, then you have to stop and send your momentum, your energy back in opposite direction. So side to side, laterally, and also forward and backward, and also vertically. And basketball is a lot of pressure you're putting on your knees because of the stop and start motions that you do in the game. I realized that for my body personally, again, this may not apply to your body, but for my body, the movements of basketball were harder on my joints than the movements of running. Where running is you're going in one direction at a steady pace consistently. You're not stopping and starting. You're not jumping. You're not having to stop all your momentum, go in one direction and go back the other direction. None of those things that were making my body have more aches and more pains and more challenges not like my body was beat up when I stopped playing, but basketball beat up my body more than running has beat up my body. And I still run like multiple times per week to this day. My body never feels sore. It's not like it's hard for me to get out of bed or anything like that. I don't have any of those problems. And the whole point being, I had this strong belief that concrete was the problem. The problem was not concrete. The problem was basketball. And again, it's not, I'm not saying that basketball was destroying me. I literally walked away from basketball on my own volition, but it was harder for me physically to play basketball than it has been for me to run. That's the point. My actions and beliefs were in conflict at this period when I started running outside, because I had this belief that concrete was going to destroy me. But then I realized that my beliefs were based on a falsehood. It should have been an opinion, but it was actually a belief. Luckily, I was open-minded enough to challenge my own beliefs. Many people are not. And they just go their whole lives thinking that something must be true when they've never challenged to find out if it's actually true. I'll give you another example. And this is an example of, again, taking an action that goes against your beliefs and then finding out that, hey, your belief might have been wrong. And I found out that my belief was wrong when I had this idea. I'll give you another example. For many years, I was never a user of credit. I talked about this in yesterday's episode. Well, not, I didn't talk about this specifically, but talked about money mindset in yesterday's episode. And one of the poor money mindsets I had was that any use of credit had to be a negative thing. Because again, the environment that I came up in, this is the way that it seemed. This is what I was taught. This is what I had absorbed. And no one had ever set me straight and taught me anything differently. So I thought, well, maybe that is a thing. I thought any type of credit is just a bad thing. Shouldn't use any credit at all because it's a bad thing. It'll hurt you. And you, if you can't pay for it in cash, just don't pay for it at all. That's what I used to think. And there are some people who still think that. Some of you listening to this, maybe that's the way you live and the way that you think doesn't mean that you're necessarily wrong. I'm talking from my personal perspective and my personal needs. So I would pay for everything in cash. And I would use bank accounts to make payments. I would use debit cards to make payments. And it was only when I tried to, it was the first time I tried to buy a car and finance it. It was the first time I tried to buy a new car because I had always bought cars. I'd always got cars used. And you know, you could just make payments in cash and things like that. But it was the first time I ever tried to get a brand new car. Remember, I was at the Nissan dealership trying to get this new car, and I was trying to finance the car. And I realized then when they ran my credit that I actually had no credit or bad credit. My credit was just non-existent. I had no credit type of nothing useful, let's say, for them to use for me to be able to get this car. And I realized that once I found a way to get the car, I had to put a lot of money down. I had a very high payment for the type of car that I got. The payment was ridiculous because of my shitty credit or non-existent credit. And then I started to educate myself on how credit actually works and how I could actually build credit and how I could use credit in a positive way. And credit could actually be useful, especially for me as a business owner and where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do next. This is right around the time that I stopped playing basketball. And as over the next couple of years, I learned how to use it. I just need to use it the right way. And I learned how it worked. They could be a useful tool for me, as I said, as a business owner. So to this day, I use credit much more extensively now than I did back then. But I had to go through the conflict. Again, I had to take an action that was in conflict with my beliefs, because to get that car financed, I had to look at my credit. I didn't even realize the whole concept of credit scores and looking it up and monitoring your credit. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. And mind you, I'm an adult over the age of 30. I didn't know this stuff. Because again, how I was conditioned growing up, and because I had never realized that there was some different approaches that I could be looking at that could maybe challenge my beliefs, because I just had never done the work. So again, we had to be aware of these things. I had to go through this conflict to learn this new approach. I had to challenge my own beliefs. And again, many people won't even do this. They'll just say, well, I don't believe this, and they will just continue not believing it no matter what. Or I believe it, and they'll go on and keep believing it no matter what. And they won't even open themselves to challenging what they think is true. And as a matter of fact, I'm in a text message chat with a business colleague of mine who's telling me about a third party person who has this exact problem right now. They have some beliefs in their head that they don't want to change and they don't want them challenged. And they react very negatively if you keep challenging their beliefs. And this is a wall that this person has up that is getting in their way of their success. And this happens a lot. So sometimes your actions and beliefs will be in conflict. You'll go back to what you previously believed. Again, you'll stay in your zone of comfort. Sometimes they'll be in conflict and it will lead to a breakthrough, i.e. a new way of believing or thinking. I just gave you two examples from my own life and how this happened. So whenever your beliefs and your proposed actions are in conflict, there's a possibility that you might develop a new belief, a new way of doing things that makes things better for you. And sometimes you might find out that maybe your belief is right, but at least you need to challenge it and find out. If you are never willing to have your beliefs and your actions be in conflict, then that means it's impossible for you to change in any way. You can't change because you're just going to hold on to this belief. Okay, then the situation you have is going to stay because you're not doing anything different. Many people do not change, not because they're incapable, but because they're unwilling to deal with the conflict of, let me take an action that might show me that my beliefs are not as strong as I thought they were, or they're not as valid, let's say, as I thought they were, in your own mind. I don't mean to other people, but in your own mind. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them, no matter what it is that you do, and you need to, if you're gonna be a professional, have a system for getting through those days because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Point number three. Today's topic, once again, is how to avoid cognitive dissonance. Number three, stick to your principles even when inconvenient. Now, principles and beliefs are not the same thing. All right, principles do not change. A principle is etched in stone and is non-negotiable. Principles are usually fewer in number because of their nature, because they do not change, they're etched in stone. So how many things do you have in your life that are etched in stone, never changing, no matter what changes in technology, life, people, you, etc.? Probably not too many. Being that principles don't change, you stick to them forever, no matter what occurs. No matter what anybody says, no matter what happens, you stick to your principles. For this reason, you must be very clear on what your principles are, because you are not allowed to vacillate from a principle. If you vacillate from something that you call a principle, then it's not a principle. It's a maybe a suggestion, it's a belief, it's something that you agree with. It's not a principle. Principle, you don't change. You never go against the grain of a principle. And again, each person can choose their own principles, but you need to know what yours are. When I did the 12 Work on Your Game commandments, I'm telling you the principles of what the Work on Your Game philosophy is about. Those are the foundational things that do not change. Again, I called them the 12 Work on Your Game commandments. They start in episode number 2219, if you would like to hear me explain them. With that said, when you are clear on your principles, again, you don't break from them even when it's inconvenient to honor the principle. If it's inconvenient to honor the principle, you still don't do it. So what principles do you have that you are just not breaking no matter what is presented in front of you? All right. And this is where your integrity comes from. All right. These are my principles. I'm not breaking these principles. I'm not going against the grain of these principles, regardless of what is placed in front of me. So you need to know what those are. I gave you an example. I just saw this story on ESPN.com yesterday. There was a guy, I believe he was a wrestler. I don't even know his name or what country he was in, but he was a wrestler and he was about to get into a big time wrestling match that had like a national championship. It was affecting who could win the national championship. And he said after the match, the guy said that he was offered $300,000 to basically throw the match, which means lose on purpose. If he lost on purpose, he would have been paid $300,000 had he agreed to the process. But he told the media after the fight that someone offered him that, or not the fight, but the match, that someone offered him that, but he didn't take it because he believes in showing honor to his country and he would never just take a loss on behalf of the country in order to enrich himself. What he was explaining was a principle. That's a principle. So even though it was inconvenient for him to not get that $300,000 that he could have got for losing on purpose, he decided, even if I lose, I'll not take the money, but I'm not going to go out there and sell out my country in order to get a dollar. The reason why you shouldn't have so many principles, because usually over time in life, we change. We see different things. We get different things. But you need to know what the things are that are etched in stone for you. And again, nobody can dictate these to you. You get to choose them. Now, someone could suggest some to you and you could pick them up if you so choose, but you need to choose your own principles, especially once you are an adult. You get to choose your own principles. And if you're an adult and you don't know what your principles are, you should figure it out. You should know what your principles are. One of the things you will never bend on is it will help direct your actions. It'll help direct your energies and your thought processes. So the ones that you do have, you got to know that you're serious about them because they are usually not convenient. They may not always be convenient. I give you a principle of mine is that I'll always be in great athletic shape. Now, that's a principle of mine. Now, when does this come under fire? When is this possibly inconvenient? Well, as an athlete, it was never inconvenient because it was literally my job to be in great athletic shape. But as after I stopped being an athlete, still wasn't really that inconvenient, but it became somewhat inconvenient when I had a child, because any of you has children, you know, that first year or five with a child, that they're waking up in the middle of the night, going to bed later than expected, waking up earlier than expected, all kinds of things going on that throw off the sleep schedule of the parents. So I like to wake up early and get my workout in, and I never miss the workout due to anything that my child did the night before or during the night. Even if that meant I got very little sleep, even if that meant my sleep was interrupted, even if it meant my sleep was uneven, I still got in the things that I wanted to get in athletically, because it's a principle of mine that I'm not missing a workout, at least not for that reason. And if I miss a workout, there needs to be an extenuating circumstance, and nothing a child does is an extenuating circumstance, unless they got like a broken arm or they're in the hospital or something like that. Other than that, like they stop breathing, something like that, God forbid, then other than that, no. I'm not missing. That's a principle. And it is inconvenient sometimes to have to stick to that principle. But because that principle matters so much to me, I was willing to deal with the inconvenience. Some of you listen to this. You like to work out more consistently. You know you need to work out more consistently. You want to, but you don't have such a strong principle for it. And it's the reason why you are okay missing a workout, skipping a workout, sleeping in, staying up late, not getting that workout in. I'm not saying that that makes you a bad person. What I'm saying is, you probably have other areas of life in which you have principles that I don't, and you are always sticking to those things. So these are the things that you should think about. What are those areas that are just absolute non-negotiables for you to where you are not bending on them no matter what happens? All that said, let's recap today's class, which is how to avoid cognitive dissonance, was the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitudinal change. Number one, keep all your opinions flexible and subject to change. All right, none of your opinions are etched in stone. You are willing to change them, and you hold to them loosely like you're holding an egg. All right, you hold an egg too tight, you break it. Number two, accept that your actions and opinions can sometimes be in conflict, or your actions and beliefs can sometimes be in conflict, which is a good thing, because you will at least find out either A, your belief is rooted in something real because you will take the action and prove it, or B, that your belief was rooted in some bullshit because you take the action and find out, oh, this thought thing that I thought was true is not actually true. And this is a good thing because that's where the growth is. That's where you can learn. Number three, stick to your principles even when inconvenient. Understand that principles and beliefs are not the same thing. Principles are etched in stone, non-negotiable, and they never, ever change regardless of what happens, regardless of who says something, regardless of who is around you. You need to know what your etched in stone principles are because they are not subject to change regardless of circumstance. What are those for you? You should know them. You should have them written down. If you're a religious person, your religious documentation tells you the principles that you should be following as a follower of that religion. You're not a religious person, then you need to figure out what your principles are and you need to stick to them, whatever they are, if you have any. And one of the biggest challenges we have in society today is that many people have none, which is why we're seeing a whole lot of the bullshit that we're seeing. That's a different conversation for a different day. All that said, make sure you text me so you're in my community. My number's down below in the description. And Work On Your Game University, that is the place where you can work with me directly, the place you can have me as your direct coach. We can make your principles actually produce the results that you want them to produce. We can challenge some of your long-held beliefs. Again, your opinions, we really probably won't talk about them too much because there are too many of them and they don't really matter to the results. But our game is about helping you perform at a higher level, do so consistently, and produce more results in your life, because we're in a performance and a results-based business. So whatever results you are after, I'm your guy. I will work with you directly to make them come to life, and you have my direct help in the process. That's workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions, you can share challenges with me, you are messaging me directly, you can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that can change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. People often ask me, Dre, is there any way that I could work with you directly? Is there any way that I could talk to you on a regular basis, just ask you questions, share with you what I'm doing, and just get your feedback and your insight on where I'm going personally and professionally? The answer is yes. And the further answer is there's only one place to do that. That is Work On Your Game University. That's the only place I do any coaching. It's the only place I work with anyone directly. All you have to do to get involved in the university is go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. There you'll see all your options, whether you want to schedule a call with us, join one of our group programs, and we go from there. I'll see you inside. Again, that's workonyourgameuniversity.com.